everyone, welcome to More Than Meets These Guys. This is Boo and Evan coming at you from the future past. UK issue number 29, Decepticon Dam Busters. Yes, we have left the world of GoBots at this point. Maybe, temporarily, we'll see. To venture back over to the UK, our friends across the pond with their honestly superior in every way comic to the American comic.
As future robots, we are definitely Nimrods.
Yes. If any of you folks, speaking of that, if any of you folks really like Machine Man and want to hear us, go into the Machine Man part, we're going to put that on the Patreon from here on out because we're going to keep this Transformers based. But if you are a Machine Man fan or anything else that is adjacent to Transformers that are in these issues, we're going to move that over to the Patreon only. So
If
this is
you
going to
just want to
be.
hear the sheer comedy that comes from us reading through Machine Man.
Oh, the beauty is with the Patreon, I don't have to be so PG or G rated, I guess. And I can't wait for that because
Golly gee willikers, Evan. What are we gonna do now?
that's I can't wait for that because I think Machine Man is very overdue for that sort of treatment. But right
Or
now
X-51.
for us. So if you'd like that, head on over to the Patreon. $1 a month. I don't care. Everything keeps us going. We are this is a labor of love. Boo works tirelessly in the slave mines to create our thumbnails and produce gifts and
I wouldn't say tirelessly. I'm always kind of tired.
yeah, that's true, actually. I was just trying to really paint you in a better perspective, but you're right. I'm not going to try to
Think of like
sugarcoat that.
a lethargic turtle with like a Wacom tablet, and you've got me. Slow and steady, baby. Slow and steady.
Wow, that puts everything in so much perspective.
See?
It works. It works. So
Turtle, turtle, turtle.
we're on to Transformers UK number 29. Decepticon Dam Busters.
Oh man, I thought we were keeping this G.
Damn. Oh
Damn,
well.
Busters.
So yeah. So
It
you
sounds
might
like
recognize.
he it sounds like, the Witwicky son from the comics took a visit, to Friday.
Yeah, definitely.
Damn, Buster.
By the way, real quick, I want to say to everyone who's listening, I know this isn't a lot to ask on your part. I mean, because I do the same thing. But if you like our stuff, you enjoy listening every week, hit a like or subscribe, tell a friend about it. It means so much to us here. And I know it's a little thing, but it goes a long way. We would really appreciate that. But also, I want to say our new subscriber on YouTube, Joaquin, welcome, man. Good
Welcome.
to have you.
And remember, you can always passively aggressive, like intimidate your family and loved ones into listening.
You can, and you can play it only the road trip. You can play hours. We have hours of podcasts. You can
Rent an
play.
ice cream truck and drive through the neighborhood blasting it.
Oh my God, it would be amazing.
Yes.
And
People
that
love that.
I love that. So of course people love that because I'm a person. I'm a people.
The
So
verdict's still out on me, so
well, I've never seen your face. You're just like a you're not you're like an illustration. So there's
it's more real than I am.
that.
One day I'll be a real boy.
Though I always picture you looking like Captain Spaulding in a way.
I could see that
Yeah.
in the mirror when I wake up every morning.
Yeah.
It's the clown makeup and the little hat that really,
Tutti Frutti.
Yeah.
We're gonna go get some ice cream.
Yeah, I need to go get some fried chicken and gasoline real quick.
Yes. Leaving the Devil's Rejects behind, we are on to this one. And by the way, this is the last issue to get your Cadbury Free Wildlife Bar.
Right?
Last issue. This is your last chance.
Man, you are missing out if you do not get that little token off the front.
If it's anything like ours in America, I know Japan's a very different whole culture because they don't steal things off of packages. It's weird because in America, if there's a, something in a like a cellophane or plastic, like thin plastic package on a comic on a magazine, that thing is gone within 5 minutes.
Oh yeah, especially on newsstands.
Yeah. And I'm going to read this, and with my left hand, I'm going to pull this out of here and put it back. So I don't know how it is in the UK. Hopefully, it's better, but from what, everything I've heard, probably not. We are not a very considerate country as far as things like that go, unfortunately.
We're
Or I don't know. Or fortunately, I don't know.
it's still like the Wild West in the grocery stores around here.
It is. It really is.
Especially in the open carry states.
You're not wrong, man.
Literally.
You're not wrong at all.
Man, you do not want to get caught up in the egg aisle right now.
Playing.
Right.
I start shooting. So the
Well, we got some cover art here from
yes.
a familiar artist. It's John Ridgway again.
Which is why it looks so freaking good.
Oh yeah, UK art is always just the best. But
It's kind of funny that the cover of this, like Optimus Prime's axe is actually silver, and Megatron's ball, I guess it's spike, it's a flail, a spike flail.
yeah,
I
it's a
can't.
flail.
We're a D&D nerds. It's not a morning star. It's a flail, a spike flail.
Right, a morning star has a solid rod to
Yes.
it, so
So
you know
all
why everyone calls it a morning star, I think?
why is that?
Castlevania.
Yeah, I can see
Because when
that
you'd
totally.
get the upgraded whip, it would call it the morning star. And
Yeah, I can see that totally. But if for us D&D nerds, that is not a morning star. That is a spiked flail.
it's kind of what I do socially. I flail a lot.
Spiked?
Sometimes.
It's
Depends on
sharp
how much I've
edges.
had to drink.
Oh, man, we get into this and
Well, we have some interesting things about here. Yeah, so this scene looks very familiar.
yes.
Yeah, Optimus Megatron going out on top of a dam. But in the corner box, we have another familiar sight.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Yeah, we have Optimus Prime driving on a cliffside.
Right before he falls off the cliffside and rolls.
No, this is when he jumps off the cliff and transforms in one of the early 1984 commercials.
Oh, I do remember this.
This is
Yes.
actually a frame from that, but
That's kind of
this
cool.
frame actually has cut out the other Autobots that are like flying up in front of him. So, yeah, I'll have a picture of that you can show.
Awesome. Well, it'll be
So
on the YouTube.
now, in the previous two issues, they did something similar,
Okay.
which you see like a little planet and like an explosion. And what that is, those are actually pictures from the very first Marvel Comics Transformers commercial that showed the early designs of the Ark and Nemesis fighting above Earth, where the Ark was like a long blue, like aircraft carrier looking ship
Yeah.
with like, with a bunch of engines on the back, more than like the four or five we're used to seeing. And the Nemesis was some kind of green, like Zentradi looking pod.
Okay, that's why well, that's what I saw. So you showed this to me earlier and I looked at it and like it looks like a ship, like a like a ship flying by a planet or something like that. No, that's exactly what it was. Okay. That
Yeah,
makes a lot of
so that's
sense.
what that was. And that's the first time that I know of that those designs were ever put in print. I mean, they're really hard to see. But that's what those are.
Yeah, so there's a little scoop for all you loyal listeners. If you you want to put it out there and get leave us a little tag, say hey, you heard this on the podcast or watched it on the YouTube video that our boy Boo here has sussed out what that actually is. So that's really cool. Good
Yeah,
job.
because as far as I know, no one else has ever reported that that's what that is.
Very cool, very cool. Man, it's like you have so much free time on your hands. It's really
Right?
impressive,
How does
yeah.
that happen? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know because you're I know you stay busy a lot, so
Right?
not like I do, I'm all the time. So we have our buddy Robo Capers.
Oh, yeah. I really think they should rename this to Robo like mishaps or misfortunes, because
Yeah.
no capers have really been pulled, but there's a lot of bad luck in this comic.
And like I kind of appreciate the little like four panel joke. It's such a quick strip about a weather robot that costs 30 billion Zeponian dollars,
Yes.
which
I'm not sure what the exchange rate is for that.
probably the price of Twitter. And it gets
Ha!
zapped by lightning immediately because
As soon as it walks out the door, it just gets obliterated by a lightning strike. So,
So end of that story.
and it's gone.
Oh, we barely knew it,
Yeah.
man. So I gotta
It kind of looked
stop.
like the Iron Giant.
It kind of did with a little different, like a thing off his head and his shoulders and stuff,
Yeah.
sort of a little
Oh, you know
smoother.
what? When they decorated it up to be modern art, when they're trying to hide it in a junkyard, that's what it kind of looks like.
There you go. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
But
But that was way before Iron Giant came out, so
they stole the idea.
the cartoon, the book was out a long time ago.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I am so excited. We have another Simon Furman story.
Yes.
Friend of the podcast, Simon Furman. I am really excited to see this. And man, the artist is so good.
Yes, this was done by John Stokes.
What else has he done?
He's best known for Fish Boy, which ran as a secondary story in Buster Comics,
Huh.
which Buster was originally it started in 1960, and it was supposed to be about Andy Cap's son.
Andy Cap's
Yeah,
son?
Andy Cap. It was a tie-in to Andy Cap, and then later they just like stopped mentioning Andy Cap. But there's a few issues early on where Andy Cap would like guest star in it with him.
Does his son see him when he comes home from the pub,
Oh, I'm
and his
sure. They
wife
both
beat
wore the
him?
same kind of cap and everything, too, so there were similarities between them. But
Man.
they ran the secondary story about an abandoned boy who learned to breathe underwater and speak to sea creatures. Which that's quite a talent to learn how to breathe underwater, you know.
Well, I it's gonna be a lot of practice, but I eventually get to the point where I just breathe in water and filter out the oxygen. It was really took a lot of practice.
My babysitters tried to help me learn a lot.
I bet they did.
They did, yeah.
I
Anyway,
am
so he
really
swam
awesome.
the ocean searching for his parents and helping people along the way, which sounds really familiar. If only the story could be told in space. So, yeah,
Did he have white hair also?
no.
Oh,
See,
well.
that's what threw it off. He didn't have
Yep.
that Harvey Comics look, but yeah, it was like an aquatic planet, Terry.
That was such a weird comic, anyways.
Oh man,
Planet
yeah.
Terry.
You miss him a little, don't you? Just a little.
I
Just for the
miss the art,
weirdness.
actually. I miss the art. The art,
Yeah.
actually, I really liked a lot. There's that Richie Rich art.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually did like that a lot.
Maybe Planet Terry died and became Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Ooh, I can see it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Good call. Good
That's
call.
the real ending to Planet Terry.
Yeah.
He's still looking. So, John Stokes also worked on the Marvel UK comic for Black Knight. And he did that and the comic adaptation for Time Bandits with Steve Parkhouse.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. He did Doctor Who and Star Wars comics in the UK with Alan Moore.
Oh, nice. I could see him doing it from Time Bandits being very adjacent to Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised there wasn't a crossover somewhere.
I'm shocked there's not a crossover somewhere.
Yeah.
But
And then
yeah.
he did inks on Aliens Havoc for Dark Horse.
Dude, Dark Horse put out so many Aliens comics. I tried to get caught up on them, and I gave up it for a while. I used to
They
have a lot of fun.
really use that franchise a
They
lot.
abused
Like they
that
Yeah.
franchise.
Well, you know, when you're paying for it,
Yeah.
you got to make sure you're producing.
Yeah. As
Because you're still paying for it whether you're doing it or not.
like one of my favorite expressions of Joe Bob Briggs on Shudder. He has this. He does it in those things about like horror anthology shows. Like talking about different horror movies and talking about the 80s, talking about the fact that that hair wasn't teased, it was abused. And in a way, I feel like that's the way he was with he abused them on that. So I appreciate the I just lost my train of thought.
Well, you know, the whole Aliens franchise was kind of
Yeah.
abused after, you know, the second movie.
I gotta say, I've come around to really enjoying Alien 3 again. Alien Resurrection is just so weird. I kind of appreciate it in its own right, like a standalone movie.
Yeah.
But I did like Prometheus and Covenant.
Oh yeah, they've won it back.
Oh yeah, I
But
do the
there
newer
was some
one.
odd years there, especially when they
Yeah.
started doing Alien versus Predator, which was taken from the Dark Horse comics.
Yes, it was. And honestly, I feel like the first movie actually wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great either. If it wasn't like a huge budget movie, it
It
would have
was
been
too
much worse.
dark, I thought. Like, it was hard to see dark,
Yeah.
not like dark subject matter wise.
No, and actually, whenever you see a movie that's filmed too dark like that, you wonder why. Almost like there's something that they were trying to cover up. Oh,
I think they use it to cover up special effects
yeah,
issues.
100%. 100%, because that was still early CG. And I know there were a lot of people in suits still as the aliens, but the effects just weren't that great. But I must say, I'm one of the minority who really likes the other Predator movies, like Predators, the one that takes place on the other planet. I liked it. I think it actually was a really cool idea. Standalone movie.
They're
Predator Jesus.
fun. They're just not that scary
No, they're
anymore.
not
They're
scary at
just.
all. Yeah, they're fun. They're action adventure movies more than they are horror
Well, and
movies.
like in Predators, they were all bad people. So you're kind of rooting for the Predator. He's become like, Jason or Freddy Krueger, where you're kind of like rooting for him to get the guys.
Yeah, that's actually pretty accurate. Except for God, what's his name right now? Oh my God, the guy from Matrix also is in Alpha Trion on
Are you talking about
Terminator.
Lawrence Fishburne?
Lawrence Fishburne, yeah. Lawrence
Yes.
Fishburne was my favorite part of the movie.
Oh yeah, he was great.
Crazy guy in a ship. I mean,
Right.
Lawrence Fishburne nails it every time. I'm a big fan of that guy. So yeah,
Oh yeah,
man,
he's
like
good in everything.
he is.
He's always Cowboy Curtis to me.
Fair. Very fair. So yeah, man, that's kind of cool. That he worked on that much stuff. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get my
Well,
camera
and speaking of that,
reset.
he did after while he was doing that, and afterwards, he did a lot of pulp horror and sci-fi comics too.
Oh,
John
very
Stokes,
cool.
at his, yeah. So,
Well, right there with our friend Simon Furman.
yeah,
So
I
yeah.
think everyone in the UK comic scene pulled some time in the sci-fi in UK, especially with like 2000 AD and stuff like that. But Mr. Stokes worked on some of the like the I guess official Hammer comics.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, which
That's very
Hammer
cool.
horror movies were like
Oh
the
yeah.
best.
The best of the British horror. Like it was pretty good budget, but it wasn't high budget. It was
No, but they were fun. I mean, it
they
was
were
Christopher
great.
Lee and it was
Christopher
Peter
Lee.
Cushing. I mean,
Yeah, if you ever want to watch two amazing later on Star Wars actors in movies, Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee, all over those horror movies. And they're great for that.
oh yeah, they're usually foils to one another.
Yeah,
Yeah, they were great.
Peter Cushing was essentially oh God, what I'm blanking on the character kind of
Van Helsing?
Van Helsing. Thank you.
Yeah, he was like the Van Helsing archetype to Lee's
Yeah,
Dracula usually.
and
And
Christopher,
Cushing also did a lot of Sherlock Holmes stuff too,
he
so
did, yes.
yeah.
And also, I mean, Christopher Lee always made a he's a very imposing character on screen, so he always made a great Count Dracula.
That's because he was scary in real life.
You've heard him singing on like the metal songs,
Oh
right?
yeah,
He's
dressed as
good.
Charlemagne, man,
Yes.
that guy rocked all the way into the grave. That I mean, I don't think anybody has lived a life like him.
He's actually one of my he's like the star of one of my favorite movies though, The Wicker Man.
Oh
So
yeah,
that one's always one of my favorites. He's so happy, but he's also kind of scary. Love it. Perfect.
it's scary that he's so happy.
Yeah, well, hey, they're not doing anything wrong.
Well, and I mean, a lot of the James Bond stories apparently are based off of stuff that he really did. So,
No joke. That's great. That's
yeah. Well, he
fantastic.
knew Ian Fleming, and apparently Fleming adapted some of the stuff that he did in World War II because he was a Nazi hunter.
Christopher Lee was?
Yeah, he worked for like MI6 and stuff, dude. He was like,
Oh, I have to find that. I have to go down that rabbit hole
oh
after
yeah,
going.
like when they were working on Lord of the Rings and Wormtongue stabs Saruman in the back and Peter Jackson's trying to explain like what kind of sound he should make when he's stabbed. He's like, no, people don't make that kind of sound when they're stabbed in the back. And then he explained to him in depth like the how someone sounds when they get stabbed in the back. Because he
Whoa.
knows.
Christopher Lee just seemed a lot scarier, and that's
Yeah, he
awesome.
did. Everybody was kind of like, okay, do it your way, guy.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to find some books or something about that because
He would go
I
on
need to.
walks with like the Hobbit actors and like just like creep them out sometimes.
So he was the perfect Saruman.
Oh, he was perfect. Yeah.
Okay. You young men, do you know what I did for funds? Yeah, that's fantastic. We should get into this comic though, because
Yes. Oh,
yes.
yeah. This is a Transformers podcast,
Well, we're basically a pop culture nerd podcast, so all that's
oh,
great.
yeah.
I need
It's
to.
hard not to get lost on Christopher Lee, though. That dude, man.
I think he was awesome. He was so good for everything. God,
Yeah.
yeah.
Google it, though. Google the crazy stuff he did, like as a spy or whatever he did. He's like, he did some heavy duty stuff.
I
So,
can't wait.
yeah.
I'm not sleeping tonight. So we start off in a bar, and people in the bar, and they're watching the footage of the Dinobots attacking Megatron.
Yeah, Charlie the bartender and some unnamed blue collar guy and a he looks kind of like Ron Jeremy. I
It kind of does, actually.
yeah.
If Ron Jeremy is less hairy, he's got like a almost look looks like an airborne tattoo on his arm.
Yeah, he's got an airborne tattoo. Says Airborne Forces.
Oh, okay. You saw it quick enough, close enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, this is once again though. I'm here to tell you guys that this art is so good. The lighting in the art, the coloring, is just fantastic. So
I like it. You know who else he kind of looks like? He looks like Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
he does.
He's even got the wife beater on underneath his denim vest.
He
It's
does.
sleeveless. And then he
A
goes to.
fried man.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so. And he throws on an actual jacket. He puts on some sleeves over his denim vest. So, he's, I guess, responsible in the temperature outside.
Yeah, well, it's but the only thing he's getting responsible for.
Right.
The Charlie the bartender has this really cool this like the third panel of the comic has this like nice half he's got like the light from the TV shining on his face. He looks really good.
Oh, yeah. He's got an
Oh,
interesting face. He looks like he could be like a character in like Sin City.
100%. That Charlie's seen some stuff. Charlie was also a Nazi hunter, I guarantee you.
Oh,
So
yeah.
honestly, he looks like he's a former military guy who's seen some really hard times,
Oh, yeah,
and
with that
he's a
buzz
bartender.
cut. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The
He
hard lines in
spent some
his
time in Sergeant Fury's comics and stuff, you know.
face. Yeah.
Yeah.
The dude, the bar guy, the unnamed guy, talks
Yeah.
about, he asked Charlie the bartender to turn it off, asks if he's interested in then Charlie asks if he's interested in Earth being invaded by giant robots. But the guy at the bar says it's a put-up job, man. It looks like one of the sets of the next Spielberg movie.
Yeah, he said it looked like special effects or
Yeah,
something.
I which he's like, nah, man, this isn't real. Whatever, I'm getting out of here. But when he walks out, the best
Oh,
thing
yeah, he
ever.
walks. Great. I mean, it's an empty parking lot, so at least he's
Yeah.
walking home. He's responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah,
He's
but
had a few too many PBRs. He's gonna walk it off.
you always heard the trope about you drink too much, you see pink elephants. Well, he sees silver dinosaurs.
Yeah, he does. Oh man, yeah, he walks right out to which I don't really know if the scale's quite right because he walks out. He's like waist high to Grimlock.
Yeah.
The scale's a little wonky in this.
Yeah, well, it's still like fleshing it out, but
Oh yeah.
Grimlock and the Dinobots are very toyetic
They
in
are
design.
very much, toy. They're well, toyetic, is that a word?
Yes.
Okay, well, yes, they are very toyetic. It's like you sat there and drew the toy on a page, even to the point where you see him, his legs where the hinges are for the arms. I mean,
Oh
all of
yeah,
it.
well, and if you look on like the right side, our left of Grimlock's like snout, he's got the screw hole, the divot for the screw hole on it.
Oh, he does. Wow.
Yeah, so they looked right at the toy when they drew
Big
this.
props, John Stokes. That was really good.
Yeah.
Huh. That's really neat.
Yeah, he got all the details from the toy, all the little like panels and stuff on Grimlock's
Yeah.
head. Yeah.
Really, really neat. And so.
Yeah, blue collar guy has a an emotional moment.
We'll call that, yes.
Yeah, he freaks out and runs into, I guess it's Slag.
Yeah, he should have been wearing his brown pants, and
Yeah.
the quote Deadpool.
Well, there is brown pants now.
Yeah, and his hat comes off. He's got like the little divot thing. He's like the middle-aged, frumpy guy with who's balding, who wears a hat all the time. Yeah,
Yeah.
he's essentially Carl. Yes.
And the these are early Dinobots, so they still like speak in full sentences and everything in the comics.
Yeah. Oh, also, if you look in the next page, Grimlock, you even see the hinge on the back of his neck where his the head, the dinosaur head would pop off and like,
Yeah.
help reveal the robot head. So yeah, it's kind of funny because they are so toy centric, whereas we see Ratchet driving up and the guy's like, "Oh, thank God, there's an ambulance," and Ratchet is not at all toy
Oh, yeah, we're
centric,
back to the Sunbow model.
toyetic. What something Dinobots, okay, so the Dinobots seem less than impressed with this guy as an example of the dominant life on the planet, and
Yeah.
Sludge is like, so I wonder where the dinosaurs are, or the things we were modeled after are.
Yeah, he liked them better.
Yeah, because they're big and scary.
Big, strong, and scary, which, that fits with the Dinobots motif is, strength is everything to them.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
strength and dominance. You love the guy. He, blue collar guy. So we'll say, UK Carl.
Okay,
He sees the
Carl.
ambulance and he's like, "Oh, I'm saved!" And he runs off, and then it transforms in front of him.
Well, I mean, they're still in Oregon, so is that Oregon Carl? That's
Oh,
West
I guess
Coast
so.
Carl.
Yeah, Oregon Carl.
But
Good point. Good call there.
he runs down a long, dark road. There's like nothing down that road. There's no lights, there's no signs, it's telephone poles. So he's like,
He's gone.
yeah,
But
he's running straight into Creepshow down that way.
he is. And Ratchet though, he's like trying to be make the guy understand like they've never seen a human before. Man, ease up. They
Yeah,
don't
he's
understand you.
apologetic to the guy. That doesn't do any good. He's scared and freaks out.
Yeah, by the way, though, once again, the art is so good. Ratchet looks freaking amazing in this.
Oh, yeah.
Don't think Ratchet's ever looked so good than
Now, I
it
don't think
is.
Ratchet even looked this good in the cartoon. Like, this is peak
Oh
Ratchet
no.
right here.
This is definitely peak Ratchet. He tries to tell the Dinobots, like, "Look, you guys gotta keep a low profile because you're kind of scary. You're gonna scare the natives."
I love how he's schooling them on this because, like we said, Dinobots value strength,
Yeah.
and they're following Ratchet, who you could argue is probably one of the weaker Autobots, but they
Yeah.
watched him floor Megatron right off a cliff,
That's
so
right.
he's earned their respect. He's
Yeah.
got a street cred, so like, all right, we'll listen to you and get caught up on what's
For
happening
now.
for now. But yeah, so he goes out to tell him a story about how things work with humans on Earth.
Yeah. Well, and even like Grimlock makes the whole point, like, hey, if the Autobots have been trying to protect the humans, they should know that we are here and we don't mean any harm. And like Ratchet's like, "Yeah, look, dude. Let me tell you a little story about why what you're saying is correct, but it doesn't always end up that way."
Yeah, because he's like, we're the good guys. They should know that, we've been saving them from the Decepticons all this
Yeah.
time.
Yeah. Also, once again, we have the thing of all five Dinobots are at once. In the cartoon we had the first three, which is Grimlock, Sludge, and Slag, or for your British people, Slug. Yeah. Anyways, it's Slag. Then then you have Snarl and Swoop a few episodes later. But they don't do that in the UK comic. They get right into the all five Dinobots, which I appreciate.
Yeah, well, in the U.S. Marvel comics did that too. That was just like they got them all out at
Sunbow.
once.
Yeah, the Sunbow thing, you know, did it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Ratchet starts telling the story of this whole scenario where the Decepticons try to take Sherman Dam.
Yeah,
And
and
that
this
sounds familiar.
yeah, and this sounds like it takes place between the UK issues 3 and 6, because it's after Castle Decepticon is built,
Cause yeah, they
but
shows there's a
before
little
Sparkplug is kidnapped.
Yeah, you see the there's a little the panel that has Ratchet's head and it has the Decepticon castle or whatever.
Made out of the nuclear power plant.
Yes,
Yeah.
over
Former
there. So
Harrison nuclear power plant.
yeah. And so he's trying to relay all the stuff that happened before they woke up. And I'm sure he's leaving out the tasty tidbits here and there, but he's trying to get the overall story out.
Yeah, he's
And
getting to the point about dealing with humans.
yeah, they have a right to be scared of us because we're big and scary.
Right.
But also, he goes right into. Sorry, I got to sneeze real quick. If you want my talking.
Oh, yeah, well, we get into Soundwave is informing Megatron that there's a high chance that they could use electrical power from Earth's generators to create a usable Decepticon fuel. Because we're back to the early miniseries where they were looking for a fuel source.
Decepticons who are after green energy, by the way.
Yes.
Hydroelectric energy? Yeah, man, we'll do that.
Yeah, they think they found a way to do it. Like I
Yeah.
said, this is before Sparkplug gave them a conversion.
And also to note that the Megatron's coloring is the same as the box art once again. It's got the gold chest and gold upper arms. So there's
Yeah,
that
we've got your
stands out.
traditional UK version of Megatron with his very toy-centric head.
Yeah, it is. It's not as bad as it has been, but it still has a little like a little swoop off the back. Like a very almost like he's got a little mullet off the back.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that it shows his little crown on his forehead more prominently.
It does. Yeah. You can
Yeah.
see it off to like there's like a side view of it there.
It looks like the MP36 Plus.
It kind of does, actually.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. If I'll try to find a picture of MP36 Plus.
Yeah, that's a really good toy.
So they're the they basically Megatron saying like we have this energy like right on our doorstep. We can use this and produce enough energy to take over this planet, and it's constantly refreshing because it's a hydroelectric dam.
Well,
So
under normal circumstances, but what if we overclock it?
yeah, there's a lot of that going on right now in the news. Anyway, so we also have we have them invading the Sherman Dam power room where they were, except there's no there's it's slightly different. They take a lot of little silly elements out of the Sunbow show where someone takes in Soundwave and Soundwave transforms and the whole thing happens. They just open the wall up and go in there.
Oh
So
yeah. Which
he.
this story is an adaptation of More Than Meets the Eye Part 2's Dam
Yes.
Battle.
If you want to listen to our episode on that, I think the name of the episode is Death Metal and Laser Weapons. So yeah, once again, the Megatron though, when he's on the top of the panel on page 8, he looks so good.
Oh yeah.
It looks really nice. He's got like the red bits on his sides actually were a little longer than usual. It may be forced perspective looking down the human.
It is. It's making him look imposing from like an ant's eye view.
It does, and it looks great actually. So once again,
Yeah.
you see that crown really nicely displayed. And
That could have been like a heavy metal cover from like the 70s right
oh,
there.
totally,
Mo
totally.
Molly Hatchet could have slapped that right on there.
Yeah, I love this though. So in the Sunbow episode, you have Rumble, Blue Rumble, down there on the underwater, using his pylons to create. What was it? He's trying to create a seismic activity to create
He's
more
making a tidal
waves.
wave, it
Yeah,
says.
yeah. But here we have the Red Rumble. So we have toy accurate Rumble,
Yes,
which.
and this, I believe, is the first time Rumble's pile drivers show up in the comic.
Yeah, it is.
Because normally, Rumble's seismic vibrations move through his legs into the ground in the comics.
That's right, we've
But
seen it before.
yeah, so here we have the actual pile driver. So they watched the cartoon and adapted it, and then, fixed, animation errors by making Rumble the right toy colors.
Yeah, which once again, we're there, you can see the guys who are doing the art for this were probably looking right at the toys
Man,
when
and
they did
all the
this.
colors in here, just the greens and the blues and the water
Oh
and the
yeah.
blending, it's just
It's just really nice.
the color game in the UK comics was just, head and shoulders above what we were getting on newsprint in the
All right,
US.
Neil. Neil, I'm gonna like come a little closer, Neil. I want to talk to you.
Nell.
This is what coloring looks like. And I know you tried your best with the limited color palette you had. But I want you to look at this UK comic. You could have done this. You
Marvel
chose.
US could have done this.
Yeah, you chose not to. It was just a paycheck for you. For to us.
Oh, that's a little harsh.
I've seen other things he's done, and they're not as bad.
Oh yeah. But they would just dump everything on him that they needed done. So
Yamtov,
yeah.
I hope your apartment, wherever you're living, is but it's paid for by these issues you did of all the Transformers stuff and everything else. It's worth it for our disappointment.
Well, and honestly, I think Marvel in the 80s didn't really value these
No.
franchise comics at all.
No. No,
E
no,
even
that,
Bob
that.
Budiansky is on record as saying, it's like, oh yeah, they consider you like a loser if you worked on like the toy comics.
Yeah, no, that was all a joke. I hope you guys know that. If you listen to me rant about Neil Yamtov enough at this point, you know it is. It's yeah.
It's his shtick. I'm the Neil Yamtov apologist.
Yeah, you are. I'm tired of it.
So, oh, we have something else, though, that's
Yes.
another early instance where we have Optimus exclaim, "By the Matrix,"
Yes, he
at the
does.
bottom of page eight.
He does, which is really cool. And I think that's supposed to be Sideswipe, Bumblebee, and Jazz.
And that's a very toy-designed Bumblebee next
It
to
is
Sideswipe.
extremely like the silver behind his head and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And Jazz is pretty much straight on.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, that's like Missing Link Bumblebee back there.
It is. I wish I
Sideswipe.
didn't have him on the shelf right now. I'd bring him up. Yeah, and then one of the coolest things here is Prowl, though. In the next page, he just says this thing that seems very heavy and almost seems like an action movie, like things are really bad and the heroes are like talking, and he goes, "That means taking out Megatron." And Optimus Prime goes, "Doesn't it always?"
I almost feel like that should have been an Ironhide line. That means taking out Megatron.
But it was so cool. It was like all the music stopped for a second and everything was bleak. And the Prowl said something like, what was it? I think it was on Transformers 84 where like they were talking to Cuppy, like, "You ever seen anything like this? Hot Rod is, you ever seen anything like this?" And Cuppy goes, "Nope. I've never seen anything
Oh,
like this."
yeah, and Transformers the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of what it feels like. It's very like bleak.
Well, and I hear Michael Bell's voice with that delivery,
Yeah.
and it's almost like a Dirty Harry line
It's very
with
much.
that.
It's heavy, man. That's a good
Yeah.
writing right there. And, Megatron, the weirdest thing about this, because of the box art, you have his upper arms gold and his chest gold, and his lower arms are silver,
Yeah.
which, yeah, the coloring is, that's kind of weird, off-putting in a way. But yeah, he's like, "Greetings, Autobots. I'm so glad you can make it to witness my final victory." But Optimus Prime is really drawn well here. Hound's drawn really well. They're all really good in this.
It's an odd mix of the Sunbow animation models
Yeah.
with the toy models. Like
Yeah.
they got details from the toys but put them on the Sunbow models.
Yeah. Optimus Prime is very emblematic of that. He looks like the Sunbow. But you see little bits on him like that are very much like the toy. And Prowl, especially with the hood on his back and the siren, on his back and stuff, looks the forearms and stuff, it looked very toy-like.
Well, about that exact image was basically copied from, I guess, what was it? Issue. Oh, what was it? It was issue number one, basically. Issues two and three of the UK. Or no, sorry, one and two of the UK. When they're fighting in the drive-in theater, that same pose and everything. So they use that as the reference for this. Like, it's, yeah.
I mean, it looks like there's that might be Sideswipe in front of him, and also it looks like Iron Eye kind of is, he's too white.
Yeah, it might be Ratchet, but honestly, Sideswipe there looks a
I
bit
don't
like
know.
Red Alert.
He kind of does look like Red Alert.
I remember
I
we've had
mean,
Red Alert pop up earlier.
that's true. That's true. I mean, they're same design, but more white and red than rather than red and
And
black.
that may be Red Alert in the background too, because there's two of them that look kind of like Red Alert there.
Yeah, it kind of does. But look in the very much the foreground, the extreme foreground, it kind of looks like Galvatron a little bit from the back.
Oh yeah, that's Sunstreaker with his little fancy ears.
I know, but the way it looks, the purple, I think it's the
Oh, the
purple where he
purple,
gets
yeah, with
everything
the
down.
crown kinda, yeah.
Yeah. But we also get to the point where Hound jumps in the water.
Yeah, he sends Proud a Prowl Hound to find out what's causing the seismic disruption.
Yeah. Which this goes way differently than the comic or the TV show rather.
Yeah, well
Because
there's no spike.
yeah, there's no really awkward Hound trying to like push the air or the water out of Spike's lungs after the whole thing goes on.
Yeah, that
That's awkward.
very
Yeah, if you know, you know.
Oh, you all know now.
You will all know watching YouTube. Yeah, so he says, I should have known he was a rebel, you know. He ain't too bright, but he makes up for it in raw power. Heck, it's a wonder there's any riverbed left. You know, dude, Hound's not wrong here. Rumble and Frenzy are idiots, but they're really good at what they do.
Yeah.
So I can't really fault them for that. But here we come to the big fight on on Sherman Dam, where we have laser weapons, man. Melee laser weapons.
Oh yeah, they're Energo weapons or Energon weapons,
In a
however you
Joe?
wanna. Yeah. Well, I know it's Grimlock has his Energo sword.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha.
So yeah, I think this they call it an Energon Mace on Megatron always, but yeah, it's a flail.
It is a flail. I actually have. I think this might be the one for a Hegemon. It is a spiked flail, guys. See this
Yes.
chain? Makes it a flail. If it were like this, that's a Morning Star.
Yes.
But it's not. So y'all can deal. So moving on, the Megatron comes full of out swinging the hand-to-hand combat,
That good
Cybertron style.
old-fashioned
Yeah.
hand-to-hand combat, Cybertron style.
Cybertron style. And Optimus Prime's like, if you want it, Megatron, you got it. And pulls out the axe. And yeah, they start fighting. But the fight goes a bit different this time. So we'll
Well, it's very abridged compared to what we got in the
very
cartoon.
rich. And we have Soundwave, Starscream down here because he's saying Soundwave, who looks weirdly like he doesn't look like he kind of looks like the toy, kind of looks like the show, but not really either one. He's got
Yeah,
a weird
he's a
like
mix of
shape
the
on his
two.
head. Yeah.
And there's some generic Decepticons in front of him, and one of them looks like he's wielding Optimus Prime's rifle.
He actually does. Look at
Yeah.
that. You traitor, Prime.
Yeah.
I knew it. But just like with before, they're loading up a Thundercracker with Energon cubes. He's going to fly him out of there.
Yep.
And
And this is another first.
yeah.
He says, hurry with those Energon fuel cubes. This is the first mention of Energon in the comics.
That is
So,
nice.
yeah, the first time it was mentioned in the US comics was in issue 14. Okay. Which shows up in UK issues 53 and 54. So, way ahead of this. Okay. And then issue 14 actually debuted in America 2 months after this comic. So, this is the first time Energon is mentioned in the comics at all.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
And there's this banter going on between Megatron and Prime, you know. Megatron's like, I'm going to seal the Decepticon victory with your Death Prime. And Optimus goes, stick it in neutral, Megatron, and hits him.
From this point, they're actually like lifting the dialogue straight from More Than Meets the Eye Part Two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, cool fight. Like I said, very bridge fight. But the difference here is Rumble like uses a pile driver and knocks Hound out of the water.
Yeah, he launches him.
He launches him out of the water.
It reminds me, those big water cannons guys used to run around the pool with and hit. That's what Rumble does. He just, yeah.
Did you ever have one of those water rockets when you're little, like the little plastic ones you could pump?
Oh yeah,
Like
you
the
pump them up and they
yeah,
launch and leave a
and they get
screen behind
shoof.
them.
Yeah,
Yeah.
kind of the way that reminded me of actually. So
Yeah.
he launches out of the water on the high side of the dam, and Prime's like, Optimus Prime right before this is like, for all your vaunted power, you're basically weak, Megatron, weak. And then Hound comes out, and Optimus Prime goes like, "What the Hound?" And as
Yeah, 'cause
Hound flies
he's
over,
just launching out like Superman pose.
yeah. And so, Megatron, like he should, like he definitely, I can't even fault him for this, takes the opportunity and says like, "Sloppy Prime, sloppy," and hits him, knocks him off the dam.
Yeah, 'cause he had Megatron on the ropes there.
Oh
Megatron was
yeah.
down, and then Optimus got distracted by Hound, so Megatron
So
nailed him and knocked him right off the top of the dam into the torrents of water below.
what I'm hearing here is that Rumble is actually the hero of Decepticon Dam Busters.
So far, yes.
Yeah. Well,
He saved Megatron. He should get a promotion or
he
an
definitely
Energon
should.
goodie or something.
He gets to go capture all the Senecons, and that was my favorite episode still, when he starts stealing all the cars. I
You
love
mean Rumble takes it?
it. Yeah. Oh
He
man.
gets a free blue paint job for this, so.
This is the fun little issue. It's kind of fun watching the idea of More Than Meets the Eye number two, or issue or episode two, retold in a slightly different way. And
Yeah, and this shows you that, there's a lot of stories like in between the stories we see that
oh
happen.
yeah.
So, there's a lot more parallels between the comics and cartoon universes than we get to know.
Yeah, definitely. So that was just kind of fun, and we're gonna continue on this path for Decepticon Dam Busters in the next issue,
Yes.
which will be
And we
next
have
week,
our October poster.
which looks really cool, but it's also really weirdly proportioned.
Yeah. It's based somewhat off of the MD Bright. Transformers Are All Dead Shockwave
Yeah.
cover. And he's standing in a rainy field, like it's just pouring, and there's like Autobot and Decepticon pieces like littered everywhere.
Yeah,
So.
actually, it's kind of neat. It looks almost like someone did an oil painting of Shockwave.
Yeah. And I think the proportions look off because Shockwave's head is larger. It's more like
Yeah.
human type proportions. But you know what? Looking at what we have today, it looks like he could be one of the Blockies.
He
He's got
does.
Blocky's proportion.
He does, which are fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see that. He got a little smoke coming out of his the barrel of his arm, arm gun. So
And with the pieces laying around, I bet you could recreate that scene using Blockies pretty easily.
definitely the pieces all over the ground of Autobots.
Yeah.
Though then
Well,
again,
there's a Soundwave arm there,
I was going
and
to say, it looks like Sally Farm.
it looks like one of Rumble or Frenzy's legs over there
And
behind him.
it's
It's like,
definitely like Ironhide in the background.
yeah.
So, cool picture, though. I really appreciate the background, especially like with the rain kind of look to it.
I like how he's like burning through the page on the actual calendar.
Yes, that's really cool.
He's gamma irradiated your comic. You have to throw it away now.
So you have told me, we're going to get into sound waves now, but you've
Yes.
told me about something really interesting that you were able to get a hold of that is mentioned in the sound waves of this issue.
Yes, in the Soundwave's letters column, we get a letter from Scott Main. Am I reading that right? Yeah, Scott
From
Main.
Boston, New York's.
Yes, and he mentions that in Secret Wars UK, issue 9, page 5, that there's a caption that mentions from the Daily Bugle, "Stop press, eruption in Oregon." Okay. And yeah, I hunted down this comic, which it was kind of tricky to find, but I got it. And it's a full page ad, basically, or it's like a front page from the Daily Bugle. And it's February 7th, 1984. And it's about like all the different characters that went missing when the Beyonder took them away for Secret Wars. Yeah, it mentions that, Tony Stark is also missing, stuff like that. But then there's just a little blurb like near the bottom of the page, and it says, "Stop press, eruption in Oregon. Reports are coming in of an eruption in the long dormant volcano, Mount St. Hilary, in Oregon. Scientists are baffled by this freak event. Mount St. Hilary was long ago pronounced safe. More news as this develops." And the person wrote in, Scott Main wrote in and asked if this was a reference to, basically when the Transformers woke up. And Soundwave replies, "A quick scan of my Earth newspaper files reveal that the New York Daily Bugle, a fairly primitive form of communication, if I may say so, dated February 7th, 1984, did indeed carry this report. And yes, this was the eruption that caused the arc to repair all the Transformer life forms within."
So yeah, there
So
you go.
we have a date on it. It's a hard day. It was February 7th, 1984, when it was reported. So.
There you go, February 7th. So we are coming up on the anniversary of the reporting of the eruption of Mount St. Hilary and the birth of the Autobots and Decepticons on Earth.
Right, that's like the end of this week, like this Friday.
Everyone, Friday, top one back for Starscream for waking up the Autobots.
Right?
So yeah.
Or, auntie.
Oh, auntie. Yes.
Auntie, you've
Auntie.
woken up by your auntie.
Yeah, so the in the little I actually like the sound waves because this is like once again him responding in his sound waves kind of uppity, tone.
Oh yeah, he always kind of talks down to humans. So
He does. It's fantastic.
yeah, he I still love anytime they put like the Transformers answering the letters columns.
Oh yeah. There's this one from David Thompson which cracks me up. "Dear Ratchet, I feel really sorry for you. Why? Because you've been standing outside Mount St. Hilary for ages. Why can't you fight Rumble of Frenzy? After all, you're bigger and stronger than they are."
Oh yeah, and then he gets on to him, daring to write a letter to an Autobot.
Yeah, how dare you sully my page with a letter to the Autobot? And to suggest this Autobot could be Frenzy and Rumble? Feel glad that I do not dispatch them both to your address to demonstrate just how tough they are. And one can only presume that the artist in issue number 25 Transformers story felt sorry for the wretched Ratchet as well. He thoughtfully gave him a Decepticons logo. As many of you have written to point out, I can appreciate the sort of kindness. Y'all remember that issue? He had a Decepticon logo on his on the front of his ambulance.
Yeah, when he and Buster were sitting there in the woods after they saw the two cassettes
That is
guarding the
such a
door.
nice way to explain that.
Oh
Feel
yeah, we brought it
glad.
up. And he does Soundwave get the no prize for that,
Or do we? I don't know. But apparently everyone's writing in like, "Hey, he had a Decepticon symbol," and I'm like, "Yes. The artist for number issue number 25 is very kind to
yeah,
the Richard
Soundwave's like,
Autobots."
that's an upgrade.
I love that so much.
And seeing, Rumble's pile driver punch and Hound flying, yeah, I think they could have handled Ratchet pretty easily.
Oh yeah. Considering Ratchet's terrible at fighting. Well, he's not supposed to be good at fighting, but he's terrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. Duh. It's fantastic. I love these sound waves.
He's essentially Hawkeye Pierce.
Yeah,
Yeah.
actually, yeah.
He's somewhat based on it, so he likes partying. He's very flippant towards Optimus Prime,
Yep, actually, yeah, he is. That's actually that's pretty great. I thought the other day that I saw it on a list of movies to watch. I never watched the movie of MASH.
Oh, really?
I
Oh,
always
it's
watched the
great.
show.
Yeah, wait till you see Father Mulcahy in that one.
Nice. I'll definitely have to check that out.
He has a very Braxis-like actor.
Ha ha ha. Dr. Braxis.
Yes.
Yeah. You ninny.
Yeah, it's was it Rene Auberjonois? Did I say that right?
Oh, that's he plays as oh my God.
He's Mulcahy, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Dude, what
Kudos.
it's an all-star cast, like with Donald Sutherland and Elliot
Yeah.
Gould. Man,
Yeah.
yeah.
I've gotta find the time to watch that. That's fantastic. I've never seen the movie version, so that's really cool.
Oh yeah, everybody that's in it is like a big star, so.
Yeah, I mean, I watched this TV show growing up, so yeah, that obviously. But so yeah, anyways, guys, something of Dam Busters part one, because we're gonna
Part.
go into this later. And if you guys want to check out our coverage of Machine Man, old X-51, check out the Patreon.
Oh
All
yeah.
right.
Well, something else we have right after that before we go is they
Oh.
added Soundwave gave kids a way to basically order the comic.
Oh, that's I did miss out. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, the sound strategy on the next page.
Yeah.
And I mean, he gives them like step-by-step instructions of how basically to get it delivered with the daily paper,
Oh, that's
like
kind of
whenever it
cool.
comes out.
See that, yeah.
Yeah. And or you can have them hold it for you to pick up, either way.
Soundwave cares about you kids. He wants you to read the exploits of his mighty
He wants to make
power.
sure you're getting that Decepticon propaganda.
Oh yeah. And this comic was definitely Decepticon propaganda, this past issue. Even the writer
Well,
called it.
the most frightening part of Decepticon propaganda is on the back cover.
Yeah.
It's that scary kid again.
It's in that jacket.
Yeah, that jacket, and they've got the names on the jets right finally.
Yeah, they got that back. I think last time we saw that ad, so
Yeah,
that
they
kid.
fixed it last night. It's still fixed. And it's kind of cool to see the Conehead Jets in like these alternate forms with like their wings up and their cones down.
Well,
I almost want to like get extras just to put them in that pose. They can be like more cannon fodder for the background.
the only secret I got as a kid was Dirge. But my favorite one I got as like an adult and when I started collecting in was Thrust. So
Yeah, Thrust is really cool. As a kid, I had Ramjet. And then Skywarp was always my favorite.
Skywarp was my favorite because of the coloring, yeah.
I always wanted the one that they show in the catalog with that purple nose cone. So I
Yeah.
have yet to score one of those yet. But one
One
day.
day. One day we'll.
Apparently that one has like a hard nose cone, like a plastic one, not
Oh,
a
really? Is
it.
it like South American? Is that what it was? That.
Yeah, I heard in South America and Mexico, maybe they sold it
Yeah.
there. But
They have plastic nose
I've
cones
never
as
laid
well.
hands on one, so I don't know 100% for sure, but
Well,
that's
maybe
still pretty
one day
awesome.
if you are lucky enough.
What's odd is I have the early Masterpiece Skywarp, and on his nose cone, it's painted black, but it's purple plastic. So they.
Why? Why do that?
I don't know. I don't know. It would have been cool if they'd had the purple nose cone. I'm sure there's probably some variant out there that's like $200, $300, something like that.
A variant. Shoot, you can take a little paint stripper and take that paint off the nose cone.
Oh, I don't trust paint stripper around plastic, transformer plastic.
You're not wrong. It started melting at watch.
Yeah, I knew a guy that tried that. He tried to paint Optimus' eyes blue and then tried to use paint thinner to take it off because he kind of messed it up. And it like shriveled the whole head.
Nice.
Yeah.
I can see that happening. I remember, like when I was younger, like my neighbor, she got like the original Star Trek Enterprise, NCC-1701, and was trying to put it together. Like, it was like a glued together model, and put too much like airplane glue inside it, and the plastic became kind of rubbery.
Oh, wow.
It was weird, man. It can't change the whole like structure of the plastic.
My first encounter with anything like that was, remember those big styrofoam planes with the wings that always fell
Oh,
off?
yeah.
Yeah. They kept falling off every time we'd throw it. So my brothers tried to put super glue on it and it just
Melted
dissolved right through
it.
the wings and the body. And that was the end of that
Perfect.
toy. Yeah.
Perfect. That $1.99 styrofoam plane is gone forever.
Yep. And Yeah, it probably helped create the hole in the ozone.
Hear the kids? We knew what toys were like. We melted them by accident.
Yes.
And we created holes in the ozone layer.
That's why those old vintage toys are worth so much because, yeah, we were hard on them.
Yeah, we were. Well, back then we didn't think they were gonna, we they were like they were cheap, relatively, and everyone had them, so yeah.
Man, my first Dinobots were lost when my sister took them out in the yard to play with them and left them, and the dogs chewed them up. Yeah.
Oh God.
It was Grimlock and Snarl, and that was it for them.
Well, they met a bigger match than the Decepticons. They met the dog,
Yes.
Kaiju.
The dog Sectacons.
Oh
I don't know.
man. Well, I'm gonna go cut this here. And say thanks everyone for being here. And as you can see, we're jumping around different things. We're trying a few different things. We jumped into the GoBots for a while, which honestly surprised me how good they were.
Yeah, it was fun.
And so we're back to the UK comics, and whenever Ed's done with his personal time, we'll jump back into the TV show. And once again, I'll say, if you guys have any requests or suggestions, I know that there was a person on the Spotify comments who asked us to just do I want to say Dark of the Moon, or no, the Age of Extinction at some point, and we'll have sometime we'll get to that movie. And I haven't watched that since I watched it in the theater, I don't think. So it'll be fun to watch that again.
Oh,
And
yeah.
yeah, and so Samantha J. Witwicky, thanks for being there and checking us out. And
I
I'm
love
hoping.
that name. That's just the best name.
Yeah. And all you people, Crasher, thanks for being here also. I know you said you're gonna keep listening to us as we go into different things. So everyone who's joined, thank you, and it means a lot. And this is
Yeah.
just.
All our Discord peeps, too, that
Oh,
put
definitely.
up with our madness.
Oh yeah, I mean, the Mega Subpoena triggered the Reverend himself, the Reverend, and everyone who's there. Leo, the lore, and
Zabgoth, who's been with
Zab.
us for ages.
You can't get rid of that guy. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Zab. So yeah, we're trying to build
He's
this
the living
community.
monolith.
He's a literary device. Thanks for checking us out. And listen next week, hopefully. Give us the like and follow if you would not mind. And if you are on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to podcasts, give us a nice rating if you wouldn't mind. It'd be really cool of you. It's a little thing. And I know a lot of the big shows don't care as much, but it makes a difference to us. So if anyone says anything, sends the emails, sends the, puts a comment on there, I'll try to make sure. I'll definitely always try to make sure I recognize you. So thanks for being there,
Yeah,
everyone.
we encourage you to like and follow us, whereas when I say I like and follow people, they call the cops.
It's called a restraining order. You should follow.
Yes.
All right, everyone.
I've
Thanks.
got a collection. They're like baseball cards to me now.
God, he's not wrong. He's not even joking. He's
Or
not
am
joking.
I?
I've seen the binder. All right,
They're
everyone.
mainly him.
That's why we have to meet or resume.
Yeah, we're actually like next door to each other, but I'm not allowed like on the property.
No, absolutely not. And put the telescope away, man. The telescope on the camera. I am tired of that. I have to close the. I had to get blackout curtains for our bedroom now. I
I just feel
need
like Sauron, you know? I see you.
it. It's always that one eye looking at me all the time. So we'll see you guys later. If you'd like to join us on the Patreon, I'll make that thing going as much as possible. And thanks for here, everyone. And Boo, if you want to take us out of here.
Bye.
Bye.
More Than Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.